Now, John Safran is not the sort of guy to sit back and watch when there's something going on around the world that he's interested in. He gets stuck in. Known for putting himself in the middle of situations, it could be dangerous or painful or adventurous. He's also able to get stories out of people that we rarely hear about. Now, the TV documentary maker and radio host has written a couple of books, the most recent of which is Depends What You Mean by Extremist, a book that explores the extreme right and getting amongst those groups in person. We've got John in the studio. Hi, John.
Thank you very much for inviting me on.
Oh, thanks for coming down. It's great to see you here at 2SER. As a personal fan of yours, I always follow what you've done. And when I've read your books, especially the last one, Murder in Mississippi,
yes.
I was like, you know, not only can you be on TV, not only can you be on radio, but you can write. You're a triple threat, John.
I'm doing the audio book for Murder in Mississippi at the moment. And it's quite painful for me. I think I've improved with this book because this book's got zero earnestness in it and just me going full throttle and not apologising, which I think is kind of good for comedy. And also it's good for the truth because I do go full throttle and I think I've got a right to tell these stories. Whilst in the other, I did a bit of that kind of, oh, who am I to tell this story? Because you're meant to do that as an author when you're kind of doing nonfiction. You're meant to go through all this anguish. Who am I? Why? And this, but I never actually think that. So it's just sort of like, you know, it's just because that's what you're meant to do. But this book, I just think, why don't I have a right to get amongst it and tell this story? I'm Aussie. There's people, so there's that.
Yes.
There's people coming onto my streets, in this case in Melbourne, so not just Australia, but in Melbourne CBD where I always hang out. And then on top of that, people are marching around with swastikas. Like either they're neo-Nazis with swastikas or they're lefties saying these guys are the new Nazis or they're the right-wingers saying the Muslims are the new Nazis and I'm Jewish. So it's like I just am going to tell this story and I just got lost and hung out with these far-right groups for 18 months as things were happening in the background, like Pauline Hanson was growing and growing. So I was seeing how these sort of real small local groups were bouncing off that.
Yeah.
And then hang out with the far left a little bit, a bit less because at least as a starting point, I was like, come on, like neo-Nazis, that seems like fun. Whilst, you know, like, what are the hippies going to tell me? They're going to say, oh, you know, racism's bad. Whoopee. Well. but then I got involved in them and saw all these tangles there and then also hung out with Aussie ISIS supporters. So Gerard Henderson or The Australian, if you're listening and you're going to do that, you're going to try that old routine of like, you'll go after the far right, but you won't touch Islam. No, you've read the book.
I have.
There's definitely me touching Islam, hanging out with Aussie ISIS supporters.
Well, that's right. You talked to Robert Musa Sarantonio, who by the end of the book you mentioned was in jail awaiting trial.
Yes, he still is awaiting trial. So we've got to be slightly delicate because the trial hasn't even happened, but he was caught by the Australian Federal Police because he was one of those guys, maybe listeners remember, about 6 months ago or maybe even a bit longer there ago, there were these five guys, I think it was five, and they, according to the Australian Federal Police, they drove a small boat, a tinny, from Melbourne all the way to far north Queensland. And what the Australian Federal Police are accusing them of is that they were trying to leave the country because they'd had their passports already revoked. So
no fly list.
So they couldn't get on planes. And the accusation is they hope to get to another country on that boat, maybe a nearby country, and then from there go and join some Islamic State related group. Mm. And I hung out with that dude for a whole year.
You had dinner with him. And
I had
family.
Dinner with him more than once. So I was actually a bit, when I found out like that had happened, because I was just driving along with a friend who said, John, pull over. And I said, okay. And then she shoved her iPhone in my face with the news story that he'd been arrested. This dude I'd been like hanging out with and really got to know and, you know, like him or aspects of him and got to know his family who they're not ISIS supporters. They haven't even converted. He was a convert.
Yeah.
And my first thing was, this is a bit like, I felt a bit hurt that I wasn't invited along for the road trip. Saying I'd been there all year for him. Why is he doing this goddamn thing behind my back where he's organized, allegedly? And then my feelings were even more hurt because I was like, for sure, I'm going to be like contacted to be like a witness.
Yeah, right.
I've been hanging out with this guy all year. And surely if they've been monitoring him, because that was what they said, that's why they could call him. Surely they've seen me like walk in and out of his house many times.
There's phone records, John.
And then I get no call from the Australian Federal Police. So I'm like, okay, maybe fine or whatever. Then I read this newspaper article and they're saying this will be a very long case because 100 witnesses have been called. I didn't even make the top 100. And that was, it was outraged. I was outraged. Yeah. And I haven't been trying to anything, but obviously the polite thing when the book comes out is to send it to everyone in the book. So he's in the book. So I thought I'd try to send it to him. And anyway, someone who knows him, you know, just brought it in because he's allowed books or whatever. But sure. As soon as I saw the cover, I don't think it was even my name. I don't think it's like the guards had a problem with me personally, like, oh, they didn't like Music Jamboree or something. We're not going to let this book in. It was more just the word extremist because, like, depends what you mean by extremist. And that's kind of enough if you're, like, guarding the prison of this guy who's going to be – or the jail, sorry, of this guy who's going to be before a court on such charges. That's enough to kind of go, nah, we're not going to let that book in.
Oh, there we go.
Yes.
He hasn't read it yet.
I don't think so.
And you know, like you're hanging out with him, you also rocked up to the door of Ralph
Seminara. Anyway, Italian surname.
Here in Sydney, you've got balls of steel, I must say, to be able to rock up someone's house and just sort of be at bars and say, hey, I'm wondering if I can come in for a chat.
Yeah, he was speaking at the time I was writing the book at the United Patriot Front organised rallies, and they're categorised as a far right group, even a white nationalist group, although they kind of weasel around that, they say. Although not that much, because I got this from the horse's mouth, so I don't know why they should be upset that I'm saying this, because they're so sensitive, people on the far right. Like, you use the wrong terms. You know how the left always get flack for being too sensitive?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you use the wrong personal pronouns. And
well, Margaret Court's blaming the left for, you know, bullying her.
So, but on the far right, there's kind of like they're the equivalent where they get so sensitive. Like, you go, anyway, that's a white supremacist. We're not a white supremacist, they say, through their white clan hood. And then it's like they say, oh, and then I was like, oh, okay, get it. Because they say they're just white nationalists, which means they don't think they're better or worse. But they kind of do. although they kind of dodge around it because they always say, they go, oh, listen, we think the Asians are smarter than us. We just think that, you know, the non-whites are dumber than us. So they try to get off the hook that way.
Oh.
Anyway, regardless, so I'm going, okay, fine, I'll call you white nationalist if you want. But then that's not good enough. But this is what Blair Cottrell, the leader of the United Patriots Front, said. He said, I'm a nationalist and I want to stand up for my people. And those people are largely like European white Australians.
Yes.
So there's me being PC about the far right for some reason, because I don't want to hurt their feelings.
Now, John Safran is not the sort of guy to sit back and watch. When there's something going on around the world that he's interested in, he gets stuck in. Known for putting himself in the middle of situations, it could be dangerous or painful or adventurous. He's also able to get stories out of people that we rarely hear about. Now, the TV documentary maker and radio host has written a couple of books, most recent of which is Depends What You Mean by Extremist, a book that explores the extreme right and getting amongst those groups in person. We've got John in the studio. Hi, John.
Thank you very much for inviting me on.
Oh, thanks for coming down. It's great to see you here at 2SER. As a personal fan of yours, I always follow what you've done. And when I've read your books, especially the last one, Murder in Mississippi,
yes,
I was like, you know, not only can you be on TV, not only can you be on radio, but you can write. You're a triple threat, John.
I'm doing the audio book for Murder in Mississippi at the moment. And it's quite painful for me. I think I've improved with this book because this book's got zero earnestness in it and just me going full throttle and not apologising, which I think is kind of good for comedy. And also it's good for the truth because I do go full throttle and I think I've got a right to tell these stories. Whilst in the other, I did a bit of that kind of, oh, who am I to tell this story? Because you're meant to do that as an author when you're kind of doing nonfiction. You're meant to go through all this anguish. Who am I? Why? And this, but I never actually think that. So it's just sort of like, you know, it's just because that's what you're meant to do. But this book, I just think, why don't I have a right to get amongst it and tell this story? I'm Aussie. There's people, so there's that.
Yes.
There's people coming onto my streets, in this case in Melbourne, so not just Australia, but in Melbourne CBD, where I always hang out. And then on top of that, people are marching around with swastikas. Like, either they're neo-Nazis with swastikas, or they're lefties saying, these guys are the new Nazis, or they're the right-wingers saying, the Muslims are the new Nazis, and I'm Jewish. So it's like, I just am going to tell this story, and I just got lost and hung out with these far-right groups for 18 months as things were happening in the background, like Pauline Hanson was growing and growing. So I was seeing how these sort of real small local groups were bouncing off that.
Yeah.
And then hang out with the far left a little bit, a bit less, because at least as a starting point, I was like, come on, like neo-Nazis, that seems like fun. Well, I was gonna, like, what are the hippies going to tell me? They're going to say, oh, you know, racism's bad. Whoopee. Well. but then I got involved in them and saw all these tangles there, and then also hung out with Aussie ISIS supporters. So Gerard Henderson, or The Australian, if you're listening and you're going to do that, you're going to try that old routine of like, you'll go after the far right, but you won't touch Islam. No, there's, you've read the book.
I have.
There's definitely me touching Islam, hanging out with Aussie ISIS supporters.
Well, that's right. You talked to Robert Musa Sarantonio, who by the end of the book you mentioned was in jail awaiting trial.
Yes, he still is awaiting trial. So I've got to be slightly delicate because the trial hasn't even happened, but he was caught by the Australian Federal Police, because he was one of those guys, maybe listeners remember, about 6 months ago, or maybe even a bit longer there ago, there were these five guys, I think it was five, and they, according to the Australian Federal Police, they drove a small boat, a tinny, from Melbourne all the way to far north Queensland, and what the Australian Federal Police are accusing them of is that they were trying to leave the country because they'd have had their passports already revoked. So
no fly list.
So they couldn't get on planes. And the accusation is they hope to get to another country on that boat, maybe a nearby country, and then from there go and join some Islamic State related group. Mm. And I hung out with that dude for a whole year.
You had dinner with him. And
I had
family.
Dinner with him more than once. So I was actually a bit, when I found out like that had happened, because I was just driving along with a friend who said, John, pull over. And I said, okay. And then she shoved her iPhone in my face with the news story that he'd been arrested, this dude I'd been like hanging out with. Wow. And really got to know and, you know, like him or aspects of him, and got to know his family, who they're not ISIS supporters. They haven't even converted. He was a convert.
Yeah.
And my first thing was, this is a bit like, I felt a bit hurt that I wasn't invited along for the road trip. Saying I'd been there all year for him. Why is he doing this goddamn thing behind my back where he's organized, allegedly? And then my feelings were even more hurt because I was like, for sure, I'm going to be like contacted to be like a witness.
Yeah, right.
I've been hanging out with this guy all year. And surely if they've been monitoring him, because that was what they said, that's why they could call him. Surely they've seen me like walk in and out of his house many times.
There's phone records, John.
And then I get no call from the Australian Federal Police. So I'm like, okay, maybe fine or whatever. Then I read this newspaper article and they're saying this will be a very long case because 100 witnesses have been called. I didn't even make the top 100. And that was, it was outraged. I was outraged. Yeah. And I haven't been trying to anything, but obviously the polite thing when the book comes out is to send it to everyone in the book. So he's in the book. So I thought I'd try to send it to him. And anyway, someone who knows him, you know, just brought it in because he's allowed books or whatever. But sure. As soon as I saw the cover, I don't think it was even my name. I don't think it's like the guards had a problem with me personally. Like, oh, they didn't like Music Jamboree or something. We're not going to let this book in. It was more just the word extremist, because like depends what you mean by extremist, and that's kind of enough if you're like guarding the prison of this guy who's going to be, or the jail, sorry, of this guy who's going to be before a, you know, a court on such charges. That's enough to kind of go, nah, we're not going to let that book in.
Oh, there we go.
Yes,
he hasn't read it yet.
I don't think so.
And, you know, like you're hanging out with him, you also rocked up to the door of Ralph
Seminara, Italian surname.
Here in Sydney, you've got balls of steel, I must say, to be able to rock up someone's house and just sort of be at bars and say, hey, I wonder if I can come in for a chat.
Yeah, he was speaking at the time I was writing the book at the United Patriot Front organised rallies and their categorised as a far-right group, even a white nationalist group, although they kind of weasel around that. They say, although not that much, because I got this from the horse's mouth, so I don't know why they should be upset that I'm saying this, because they're so sensitive, people on the far right. Like, you use the wrong terms. You know how the left always get flack for being too sensitive?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you use the wrong personal pronouns. And
Margaret Court's even blaming the left for, you know, bullying her.
So, but on the far right, there's kind of like they're the equivalent where they get so sensitive. Like, you go, anyway, that's a white supremacist. We're not a white supremacist, they say, you know, through their white clanhood. And then it's like they say, oh, and then I was like, oh, okay, I get it. Because they say they're just white nationalists, which means they don't think they're better or worse. But they kind of do. although they kind of dodge around it, because they always say, they go, oh, listen, we think the Asians are smarter than us. We just think that, you know, the non-whites are dumber than us. So they try to get off the hook that way.
Oh.
Anyway, regardless, they so I'm going, okay, fine, I'll call you white nationalist if you want. But then that's not good enough. And then, but this is what Blair Cottrell, the leader of the white, of the United Patriots Front, said. He said, I'm a nationalist and I want to stand up for my people. And those people are largely like European white Australians.
Yes.
So there's me being PC about the far right for some reason, because I don't want to hurt their feelings.